It's time to hear from the Green Party with co-leader James Shaw.
Right, and so we should hopefully have the co-leader of the Green Party, James Shaw, on the phone with us. How are you today, James?
Yeah, very good, thank you.
Perfect, good.
I thought your voice had a slightly different quality to it than the last time we spoke.
Really? Sounds a little bit tired? Yeah, a little bit not quite with it today, but hopefully...
I trust the show went well.
Yes, it did. It went wonderfully. Really, really good. So let's just get into it. Beginning with the government announcing plastic bags being phased out over the next year, can you tell us a little bit why the government wants to ban plastic bags in New Zealand?
Well, the primary reason is because there is an enormous amount of plastic pollution that ends up in our rivers and in particular in the oceans. And a lot of that is plastic bags. And so there are something like 30 different countries and states around the world that have already gone down this path. And so we are joining what is an international movement to try and cut down primarily on marine pollution, but also on some land-based pollution.
Has this been a plan that has been a long time in the works, or was it a quicker decision?
No, it has been a very long time in the
works.
I mean, it's something that the Green Party campaigned on in opposition for many years, and I had a colleague, Denise Roche, who actually went and ran dozens and dozens of workshops up and down the country talking to people about this. And at the time, the Greens were proposing that we do what the United Kingdom had done and put a 10-cent levy on plastic bags. But actually what we heard from people is they just said, oh, well, just ban them, just get rid of them. Overwhelmingly, you know, so that's why we've gone down this route.
Because there was for a while there that some shops certainly were putting that 10 cent sort of price on plastic bags, but it's just that I suppose the decision now is just to get rid of them.
So industry, it's great because industry's actually led on this. It took them a while, but most of the big, well, in fact, all of the big supermarket chains did various experiments and then sort of just got to the point of starting to phase them out themselves. And because they were moving, they then started to say, well, look, it would actually help. This is one of those rare situations when business says to government, it would help if you regulated across the whole industry. Because when there are differences between the different stores, that leads to an uneven playing field, and it actually makes it difficult for any one of them to lead on it when others aren't. And so coming in with government regulation actually puts a floor under it and says, okay, we're just, you know, that's off the table, same for everybody, and you can just get on with your business now. So industry's right behind it, which is great.
I suppose also it would make it difficult for customers because you wouldn't, maybe if you were travelling down the country, you wouldn't know which supermarket or whatever would have plastic bags or would not.
Yeah. Now the thing is just, you know, everybody knows if you're going shopping, just remember to take your reusable bags with you.
Absolutely. So how will the ban be implemented? How is the government going to ensure that plastic bags are no longer used?
Well, there's a period of consultation because apparently people like it when we talk to them, but they want this to be done the best. And so that's open for the next 6 weeks. And that is essentially what we were saying on Friday when we announced it was, how do we want to go about this? What are the things that we need to consider? Are there any risks involved? You know, all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, because I suppose it's going to be sort of tricky necessarily to stop people because obviously... Over the years, I know in my own house, we have heaps and heaps and heaps of plastic bags. I suppose you can't get rid of the ones that already exist. So, you personally have any ideas about how it should be implemented?
Well, I mean, that's why we're referring to it as a phase out, because we understand, you know, we just acknowledge it'll happen in stages. And also that, you know, different parts of the industry, you know, small dairies, for example, have had some issues, challenges that they say that they face that the large supermarket chains don't, for example. So, I think we just kind of need to talk to people about what makes the most sense, take a look at what other countries around the world have done and follow best practice.
Absolutely. Obviously, and just sort of going on from that more, this announcement has not necessarily been music to everyone's ears. The National Party leader, Simon Bridges, has said the plastic bag ban was low-hanging fruit that won't make any real difference. What is your opinion on this? Why is banning plastic bags so important?
Well, I mean, what he's saying, it sounds to me like he's saying, and therefore we shouldn't do it, which is, to coin a phrase, rubbish, because absolutely we should. He's correct in one respect, which is that plastic bags, single-use plastic bags, are actually in a tiny part of the overall waste problem that we have around, you know, around plastic wastes and waste in general. I think I may have this wrong, but I from memory, single-use plastic bags account for something like 1% of our plastic problem, if you like.
Yeah.
And so we do need to kind of to move on the whole thing.
Absolutely.
And we've got some announcements coming out about that in the not too distant future. But single-use plastic bags are one of those things that actually the vast majority of the population have been behind getting rid of those for years. Mm. And in fact, Simon, you know, should have done that when he was in government. And it's also because it's very tangible. I mean, you know, it's sort of one of those things where it's quite high in our consciousness because we interact with them on a daily basis.
Everybody has them. Everybody uses them.
That's right. So it's highly visible, and then we see these images on our TV screens and on Facebook of, you know, turtles that have got, you know, plastic bags in their stomachs, and, you know, dolphins that have been strangled by them, and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. And so it really kind of catches the, you know, our minds. So it's kind of like, you know, a friend of mine used to describe this as the gateway drug to the wider waste problem. So I think just because it deals with a small part of the problem doesn't mean that we shouldn't do it. Like, we should absolutely do it, and then we should, you know, use the fact that people are kind of becoming conscious about that to move them on to other parts of the waste challenge that New Zealand has.
Yeah, you'd hope that it just keeps pushing people forward to make a change in the way that they use plastic.
I think so, anecdotally at least, the evidence from overseas seems to be that that's how it works, is that, you know, having dealt with kind of plastic bags, people then move on to other things. You know, you'd see the UK, I think, is planning to get rid of plastic straws, for example, and, you know, so just kind of, you know, it's slow, but it's kind of moving through the different categories and saying, you know, there are now so many people on Earth producing so much waste, we actually have to really get to grips with this.
Mm. There's also been news about people being very worried about job loss when it comes to those that make plastic bags. Do you have anything to say on that point?
Yeah, I think there's two things, one of which is that most manufacturers of plastic bags have the option of moving to other products, you know, so they can manufacture other things. And, of course, we are talking about, you know, single-use plastic bags rather than reusables. And so, you know, I think that some manufacturers in the sector will be able to kind of graduate. But actually, the kind of issue of how we manage our waste and what we use in place of these things, I think it actually creates huge opportunities for new industries. Interestingly enough, in the Pacific Islands, where a number of the island states have banned plastic bags, what that has led to is a revitalization of basket weaving with flax, you know, which was the traditional kind of way of carrying things around at a sort of an individual level, and so, you know, you can really look at this actually as a way of creating new jobs and new industries, particularly out in the regions.
Is there a plan, like, straight away to help with those people that are potentially going to lose their jobs, or is it
that's what the consultation period is about, is talking to different players in the industry and saying, well, you know, what's it going to take to phase this out? Because it is a, you know, there is a 12-month time horizon here, so there is time for businesses to adjust, but we do want to talk to them about the nature of that, how that works.
So there's one more comment that's been made by ACT leader David Seymour, who said that who said the ban will punish responsible consumers. What do you think of that?
I think
you'd hope responsible consumers are using reusable.
Yeah, David's just dog whistling to his tiny voter base, I think none of the evidence supports that claim.
So just finally, why should New Zealanders get behind the ban on plastic bags, and why should we care?
Well, Well, New Zealanders are behind the ban on plastic bags. I think that there was.
I suppose those that aren't.
Yeah. Well, the portion remaining. I think that the main concerns that I've heard from people are, well, what do I use as a bin liner? Well, you can still buy bin liners, for example. And I'd just say that the reason why people should get in behind this is because we do have an enormous pollution and waste problem to deal with, particularly plastic wastes. This is the, I guess, the beginning of our plan to take responsibility for cleaning up behind us. It makes a massive difference to the marine life that gets caught up and degraded. And we are seeing already plastics entering our own food chain through fish from the oceans that have been absorbing plastic particles as a result of the waste that goes into the oceans. So for all of those reasons, I just think, this is an easily solvable challenge. Let's get in behind it.
And so you'd hope that it's just the first stepping stone on the change for, further change.
It will be.
Absolutely. And so let's just move on a little bit about Statistics New Zealand announcement about the broad set of indicators that will be developed to measure the nation's success. Could you explain a little bit about what these indicators are all about?
Yeah, so, many people will have heard me say this, and various other Green MPs and people say this over the years, that we have a sort of this monomaniacal focus on gross domestic product, and in particular on GDP growth. And as a sort of a measure or a proxy for measuring how well a country is doing. But actually it doesn't, because all GDP does is measure throughput, right? All it is basically what we buy and sell. And so when something happens that's bad, you have to, buy stuff to clean it up, right? So if there's an oil spill, then GDP actually goes up because, we're buying in the services of cleaning up the oil spill. If there's an earthquake, you get this massive investment in, first of all, search and rescue, but ultimately in rebuilding and all of that kind of piece. And so it doesn't measure anything about what's good or what's not good about how the economy is doing or how we as a people and as a country are doing. And so what we're trying to do is look at a series of complementary indicators that give us a much better sense of how we're doing economically, as well as socially and environmentally as a country.
Obviously, there's also been talk about well-being measures, and why is it important to introduce those into the statistics around the nation's success?
Well, I guess, well-being is a way of simply describing this whole exercise, really, which is to say we don't just want to measure dollars in and dollars out. We want to actually have some kind of understanding of our well-being, and well-being is economic, but it's also social and also environmental. And so that's why we're doing this whole project.
Perfect. Just finally, how will these, when these new statistics are implemented, how will they affect New Zealanders directly?
Well, I think what will happen is that government will make better decisions about, different policy priorities and where to put our money in the annual budget. And we should have a much better grip on the things that make the biggest intergenerational difference to the health and well-being of our country. And so I think that, there's an old saying, which is what gets measured gets managed. And ultimately, if we develop a really good set of measures and indicators for how well the country is doing, politicians will make much better decisions about how to allocate the country's resources to improve our well-being.
Perfect. Thank you so much for your time today, James.
No worries.
Enjoy the rest of your day. Talk to you soon.
You too.
Bye.
That was James Shaw for the Green Party. The Wire.